Good morning once again. This week while writing this sermon, we're going to move on to 1 Timothy 3. But what I have often tried to do is to read the passage and then to study and then to make it relevant for us. But this passage just came right back to me as the pastor of the church, as the leader of the church. And so as I share, I will go into sharing how this is for us, but I also want you to know that I very seriously took this to heart, and it was an interesting week of growth for me, and it was beautifully ended by a day in just at Camp Meadowland where you are just surrounded by the Holy Spirit. So it's been a good week. 1 Timothy 3 is the passage that I'm going to be referring to. And it's about Paul's personal letter to Timothy. And he wanted to get it to him in case there was a delay in the two of them getting together. He wanted Timothy to know about leadership within the church. He was sharing to Timothy as the leader of the Ephesian church. And he was encouraging the leader to be sure the church would be known as the place where God is. I read, the church is God's house because he is the architect, he is the builder, he lives there, he provides for it, he is honored there, and God rules there. Let us pray together. How lovely is your dwelling place, dear Lord. We are so thankful to be here in your house this morning. Open our ears and hearts to hear your words. We are here to worship you. Amen. When you open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3, please go toward the end of chapter 3. We're starting with the end first. We're going to start at verse 14. Verse 14. Although I hope to come to see you, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, and was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. In the Greek language, church means a small group meeting together. And they would be meeting together for a purpose. God calls his people together. God has called his people to be the church. The foundation of the church is truth. Paul would not acknowledge the church as the church unless God's truth was exalted. He would not acknowledge churches that would let other beliefs or half-beliefs enter in. Within the church, it is vital that the truth is preserved. Verse 16 begins with, beyond all question, meaning without controversy. Christians ought not debate over fundamental truths. I'll repeat that. Christians ought not debate over fundamental truths. God appeared in the flesh, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Jesus was justified in the Spirit. He was seen by the angels. Paul had earnestly preached among the Gentiles as Jesus had brought the world to believe. It was essential for people to hear the word of God, both then and now. The good news of Jesus Christ needs to be shared. Jesus had ascended into heaven in a resurrection body. His hands and feet had the marks of the nails that held him to the cross. He suffered on our behalf. And now we are to renew, revamp, perhaps even overhaul our character to that of a Christian character as we learn from Jesus. A change is expected. A change occurs when you became a believer. It is our relationship with Jesus that our lives become transformed. As we focus on Jesus, we read his word, we enjoy fellowship with other people, and we become transformed. God's people ought to know how to conduct themselves both in and outside of God's house. And the church needs a leader with good Christian character. These are the reasons that Paul has written about the qualifications for overseers of the church. Let's go back to chapter 3, go back to verse 1. As we read through the verses, and I read through them and I read through them, I'm going to encourage you to ask about the qualities that are important for the church leader. And then think about the qualities that are important for us as Christians. Verse 1. Well, before I get into verse 1, the amazing thing about Wellspring Church is that, yes, I am the pastor, but each of you has a part, a big part in this church. And your leadership skills and your beliefs are so important to the rest of the church. And so that's why I encourage you to think of the leadership skills. We may not have them all, but we can be working toward them. Let's go to verse 1. Here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. I feel it's an honorable task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife or husband, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, nor violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy, full of respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? What came to mind as I was going through that was when my boys were little and I could dress them in the same outfits, and they looked so precious and so neat, and then they became teenagers. And you're not allowed to dress them the same once they get to a certain age. And so the older they got, it became more difficult, and I had to release that and pray to God that God would continue to work in their hearts. And then social media came into play. It was right around the time those gaming systems came out. It became even harder to be a parent because when they weren't with me, they were in school or they were playing those games. And it's hard to be a parent when you're not sure what they're receiving from social media. I believe it's more difficult in today's world than when my kids were teenagers. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of their faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. So being tested means going through a time of scrutiny, going through a time of perhaps even questioning himself, learning a little bit more about the person, and being found blameless. And when we give our hearts to Jesus, we are forgiven, and we are blameless. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperament and trustworthy in everything. Women and men need to be intending to be building people up, not using your words to put people down or to show that you are jealous or you wish you had what they had, or there's not that negative spin on the words that you use when you are talking. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. I found all of these qualities very relevant for both men and women living their Christian lives today in today's world. For those blessed with a leadership role, they are especially true. So if you are on the worship team, if you are on the leadership team, if you are on the sign-changing scene, if you are on the yard work team, these are all important ways of thinking about our role. Did you hear any qualities that you could possibly grow in? Being in a church leadership role is good and honorable. And Timothy was being encouraged to look for good, honorable people. No one would ever become qualified to be a spiritual leader based on his gender. Spiritual leadership within the church is not about the titles and is not to be taken lightly. I pray every day that I am able to be a strong Christian leader for Wellspring Church. With the survey that we've been taking, with the changes in some Mennonite churches, I pray that I'm knowledgeable and able to, when the opportunity comes, to share my opinions with conference, and I pray that I will represent you, and that God knows and that he gives me the words to share. It is work, and sometimes difficult work, becoming a good shepherd and caring for people's salvations. Church leaders are to be chosen based on the qualifications Paul had listed. And this is another quote. It is not suggested people search for the most gifted, as God may easily and instantly give gifts through the Holy Spirit to a leader at any time. And I feel blessed because of that. This person should be a person who has lived a righteous life. A leader must remain faithful to his or her spouse, not be an adulterer, or show interest in pornography. Love and affection are to be shared with one person. Those of us that have gone through divorce know the pain. This leader, all leaders, should be trustworthy and not go to extremes as far as their mood or their actions. It is important for the person to be able to think clearly with clarity when dealing with serious subjects. Theologian Versby, I think that's how you say his name, has written, "This does not mean he has no sense of humor or that he is always solemn and somber. Rather, it suggests that he knows the value of things that does not cheapen the ministry or the gospel message by foolish behavior." And so I am thankful that it is okay to have a sense of humor as a pastor, and I am thankful that we are to never cheapen the gospel message in any way. A leader should be of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach the Bible, not addicted to drink, that is clearly discouraged. Other qualities include nonviolence or greed for money. All of this, so far, sounds very logical, right? A leader must take Jesus as his example, not being quarrelsome, nor covetous, as being covetous means not to be satisfied with anything. If you want what somebody else has, if you wish you had it easy like you think their lives are easy, it is not a good way to live. Be satisfied. Know that God is in control. The home of a church leader must be a home where Christianity is first demonstrated. Sometimes it's difficult to be in my home. I think I shared with you when I get to tuck my mom in and I kiss her goodnight, there is a relief at the end of the day. As exhausted as I may feel, it's a blessing that I have my parents. It's not easy. I'm going to get my water. But they love me and they appreciate me, and God is oh so good. And through it all, I can mention God to them in many ways. Aren't we blessed? God's in control. These are things that I let them know over and over again. There is a note of caution in that the new converts are not to be given leadership roles too quickly. These characteristics are to be evident to all. These leadership qualities are to be evident in the church, in the home, and in the community. These characteristics lead to a good testimony. What a joy to walk into the dining hall at Camp Menelan and find one of the cooks that was there 100 years ago when I was there. And she's still there, and I just received a lovely hug from her, and she's doing God's work in that kitchen. I know she loves the Lord, and she knows I love the Lord. It was so wonderful to give her a hug. As the need for more assistance occurred for the widows and the poor and the needy, the deacons would be appointed to distribute aid to others, be the hands and the feet of the church. Within the Mennonite faith, there is encouragement to always be prepared to help others. I think that's beautiful. We may be so tired and we may be needing a nap, but you know what? If somebody needs us, we're going to go, or we're going to ask someone else to go. We're going to help each other, because that's what we ought to do. The Mennonite faith, the Christian faith is beautiful, and the Mennonite faith means a lot to me, as I do believe for all of us. Deacons here at Wellspring, it's our flock, that are hands-on, practical servants for the church. Not one of these church positions is more prestigious than the others. In no way am I better in any way than all of you. Leaders are to be reverent, showing respect toward both God and man. All the leaders that are in servant roles are to be faithful in their service. All of the work in the church points to building faith in Jesus Christ. Again, if you've heard of any qualities that you feel that you may need help to grow in, pray about it. Holding on to the truth of the Bible, not gossiping, serving others, remaining faithful, not falling into the devil's trap, these are all the foundation of truth. The church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth of our living God. Church leadership is a serious, and again, I'll repeat, a noble task, an honorable role that demands proven maturity and a life with a good reputation rather than based on popular appeals. And I am so thankful to be your pastor here at Wellspring. Believers are the ones who hold up and support the truth of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is founded on Christ. We are invited to stand on that rock with Jesus. And when we come to church, Hank's going to help me with this. When we come to church, we bring our own gifts, our own set of tools, which we are good at. And we improve ourselves and raise others up by using our tools. All of our tools are unique.
This is part of my tool bag from home. And so I brought in some tools, and they may represent us in some ways. Some have been processed. Does anybody know? I don't even know the name of this, but you know what it's for. My dad said,
And that's like us. God has put all these different people in our church with different skills and different talents, and yet all these people have Jesus in their heart. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. We should live according to the truth, conducting ourselves with the proper conduct. That's when the tools work. When we conduct ourselves with proper conduct. And we want to especially do that here at church and in our homes and in our community. Show me the way, Lord. One day at a time. If I don't have the tools, Lord, put someone in my way that will help with those tools that I need. Bless us, Lord, with happy hearts. With these gifts, these tools, our church has been built and blessed many, many times over. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless all those who dwell in your house today. Thank you for each one and for the gifts they bring. Bless those who praise you and find their strength in you. When we make decisions, help us to turn to you first. Father God, we ask that you bless those who have taken on leadership roles in our church and in our conference. I pray personally, Lord, for the skill sets that you have mentioned in your word today. Allow me to continue to teach your words and to give you all the glory. And I praise you for my Wellspring family. You are an amazing father. You are an amazing teacher. Be with us this week. In your name we pray. Amen.